So Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful day and for our scripture readings, which remind us that all of us are invited to undergo a process of interior transformation, of conversion, so that you can fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit and remove our stony hearts and prove your holiness through us by giving us a new heart, a flesh, a feeling, a sensitivity to loving you and loving the people around us. So we thank you for calling us to this way of life, and we want to avoid what you warned us in the gospel of hypocrisy, of just being superficial and not going deep and valuing the things that really matter. Through the grace of your Holy Spirit, help us to focus on what's truly of importance in our world today and to lead by example. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So yesterday was the memorial of St. Augustine, the doctor of grace. And he converted later in life, obviously. And the day before, on Friday, was his mother's memorial celebration, St. Monica. And one of the traps that he fell into was he thought in his mind that Christianity was all about a bunch of stupid rules and regulations. And so he kind of bought into the culture that was not very favorable towards Christianity. And then once he accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, he just had this incredible excitement, but also this sorrow. Why did I wait so long to do this? You know, it's so beautiful. And late have I loved you, O Lord. Late have I loved you, O beauty ancient new, he says in one of his writings. And so we want to make sure that we're not missing out on the joy of that inner transformation that God is inviting us to participate in. And it's very easy to do. And if we look inside the Catholic Church today, we see a lot of evidence that it's always easy for us to become very superficial and just go through the motions. And, you know, even celebrating the sacraments. Father, would you drive 3 hours so you could do an outdoor wedding for my son and daughter-in-law, or future daughter-in-law? Do they go to church? Do they practice their faith? No. And you want me to go get a priest and pay $200 for him to sub for me and miss confessions and miss celebrating the weekend mass, and they're not even serious about their faith? Yes. Okay. No thanks. And then I remember a conversation I had. I said, you know, when this is really important to them, they're more than welcome to come to me. I'll cook a dinner for them. They won't get food poisoning, God willing. And I'd be more than happy to pray with them and talk about the importance of the sacrament of marriage, being involved in a faith community and having the support of other people who've been walking in that sacrament for 30, 40, 50 years and being a part of the faith community. But if it's not important to them now, why do you want me to go out and do that? Why is that so important to you? Isn't that just kind of a little inauthentic and phony? And we were on the phone for almost 2 hours until finally my cell phone battery died. And I thought, thank you, Lord. So the same thing can happen. It can happen with priests. Father, are you praying regularly on a daily basis? Are you doing your breviary? Are you really growing in faith, hope, and love? No, I'm burned out and tired and cynical and bitter. What's your problem? We all can fall into that. So we want to make sure that we're not missing out on the joy of inner transformation. And the one thing that Augustine realized, too, once he had this conversion, this encounter with Jesus that just changed his life, is the witness of our own life. You know, and I've shared with you several times in the last couple of months about his comment about when you receive communion, become what you receive. Become what you receive. So the witness of our life is always of utmost importance. And anyone who's a serious Christian or follower of Jesus is always most concerned about their own conduct and the witness they're providing. You know, a couple years ago, I was going to a pain clinic because I've had these really awful surgeries where they separate your rib cage and just having chronic pain constantly. So I was on narcotics, which I was always scared about because, you know, it's so easy to get addicted to those. And they're really not made for long-term pain management, and you just have to keep increasing the dosage. So I was very worried about it. My cousin actually died of a drug overdose a few years before this all happened. And so they would always come in and say, what's your pain level? You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level? No one's ever asked me, what's your joy level? Has anyone ever asked you that question? What's your joy level? How much joy are you feeling today as a Christian, as a follower of Christ? I think we need to start asking about that. It's not that we minimize our pain, but are we really witnessing to the power of God's love by the way we live our lives and the joy that people see in us? I think that's one of the most attractive things that will draw people to our faith and to the Lord, is that they see that we're happy and fulfilled. And that's what the first reading was celebrating. What other nation has been given all these commandments that will help form them to love God and love people and establish a community of justice where everybody has their place? You should feel privileged that God loves you enough to reveal a way of life to you where you can order society towards God and towards the love of God and love of neighbor. And they struggle with that, and it was a burden sometimes, and we have all these commandments and what a drag and everything. But I think God is inviting us today to rediscover the beauty of our Catholic faith and to be joyful about it. When I was in college, one of the associate priests at Christ the King, my home parish in Richland, sent me a funny card. It was a Far Side cartoon. Love the Far Side. By the way, he's a WSU grad. Sorry. You deaf people. Funny stuff. And my dad used to use it in his newsletters and stuff when he was a principal, which I reminded him, those are copyright violations, you know. And, oh, really? I didn't know that. But he had this card and he sent it to me. And it's this guy in hell because there's flames all around him. He's pushing a wheelbarrow. And he's whistling and smiling and happy. And then the two devils behind him say, you know, we're just not reaching that guy. Because he's happy here, he's in hell. And I just thought, you know, the witness of Christians when they're under the crucible and being persecuted and they're still happy and they bless those that are persecuting them, what a powerful witness that is. When the joy of the Lord really comes through those moments when, you know, you would think on a logical level you have a right to strike back at them and be mean because they're being mean to you, but instead they overcome evil with good. That is such a powerful witness. And we need more of that in our world today, amen? So what is your joy level right now? Because after the homily it might go down, I'm not sure, but at any rate. And then we want to make sure, too, that as we experience this renewal of our mind and our heart, that we always do things that are helpful to people. And be aware of how the enemy seeks to undermine our spiritual progress. I was talking with someone the other day, and they watched a faith resource. And so, anyways, the takeaway from this experience wasn't, oh, God is allowing me the opportunity to grow in my faith and to be more, you know, generous and kind and to do things. What a wonderful thing that he loves me enough to say, hey, I've given you great potential for good and I'm going to stretch your heart a little and help you do this. Instead, the enemy came along and said, oh, you're not a good person. If you really, you wouldn't be doing this, and just completely twisted the whole thing around. And I thought, isn't that the work of the devil? Instead of seeing something as an opportunity for growth, you know, a spirit of self-condemnation settles in our mind and our heart. And we end up just going away discouraged. So be aware of the devil. He's trying to do that to people. So instead of saying, you know, building on the good, like Philippians 4, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, think of these things and say, you know, well, I have some growth that I need to experience in my spiritual life. And what a wonderful thing that God loves me enough to say, hey, I expect a lot more from you. I've given you great potential for good. So don't look at this as some drudgery thing. Oh, I have to convert. Oh, my gosh. And become more loving and kind and less miserable. That's not the way it works. Right? But the enemy is always there at every turn in our spiritual life to condemn us. And I sit down week after week in confession and in spiritual direction and see his ugly work, and I make people renounce it. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lie that I'm not a good person, that I'm doing something wrong. In Counter School Ministry, we were doing this on Thursday night, healing of memories. I renounce the lie. I announce the truth that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And just be aware of our thinking. This is the hardest thing to control right here in the battlefield of the mind. But the enemy is always there to try to put a twist on something and make us feel bad and condemn us instead of, this is God loving me enough to make me more loving and kind and to reach my full maturity as a Catholic Christian, right? But he's working overtime. So God has given us tools to help overcome that. Dr. Bob Schutz, you know, in the back of his workbook, he has all these renunciation of lies and things. But we can do that for each other, too. If you meet somebody in your family who's just really condemning themselves or something they did in their past, you know, I really am sensing a spirit of self-condemnation. I want to invite you now in the name of Jesus to renounce that and come back into the light and walk in confidence as a child of God. And we can all do that. It doesn't have to be a priest that does it, although I'm trying to do it in confession and more often in spiritual direction and appointments and so forth. But we all have the capacity to do that. And then also, you know, just making sure that we're taking care of ourselves spiritually, having quiet time to be with the Lord. And that we actually have a plan of growth. Are we reading spiritual books? Are we reading the Bible? So many of our young people are on social media. I might think they're looking at apps with the Catechism and Bible on it. And The Chosen, that's a great resource. Have any of you watched The Chosen? Great stuff, you know, and Bible stories. They make you draw more deeply into their mystery, like the woman at the well, about the mercy of God and that Jesus would go out of his way and you know, violate all these social taboos and talk to this woman at the well because he loved her and wanted her to experience the living water of the Holy Spirit. So you watch things like that on your phone when you have your free time, and you'll find yourself growing in joy more than watching the news and all the bad things that are happening in the world today. We don't want to just put our head in the sand. I don't believe in that. But think about what you're taking in your mind. You know, remember that bookstore on the way to Enumclaw? What goes into a mind comes out in a life. What goes into a mind comes out in a life. And a lot of people just spend their time listening to music that's degrading to the human condition, watching movies that don't celebrate forgiveness and reconciliation, but celebrate vengeance and all kinds of other awful things. The world is just polluted with that kind of stuff. And as Christians, we have to be very careful that we're not, you know, just dieting on junk food and stuff, but taking in things that are pure and holy, like the second reading from James, that are undefiled, that are pure from God, that build us up in our inner self and not tear us down. And the young people today with the social media, and I said this a few weeks ago, I'm so glad I didn't grow up with the internet or a cell phone or an iPhone, because there's a real bad dimension to all that. In moderation, it's okay, but when you're just constantly drawn into that stimulation and you never have time for quiet, introspection and reflection, it just creates a very superficial society and very damaged and broken relationships. And we just see the evidence of that every day. So be open to our own personal transformation and growth. What are we doing to mature on our own faith? And that'll lead to greater joy as we take in all the good things that God is giving us to strengthen us in our inner self right now in this day and age. So let the joy of the Lord be our strength. And instead of just sitting back and observing everybody else and how miserable they are, it's like the Lord saying, what are you doing for me? How are you being a sign of my love and goodness in the world around you today? And when we focus on that, we're going to be a lot happier. And like that card, we're just not reaching that guy. No, I have something else going on here in my heart. And you can't touch that. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you provide for us. And we just ask for that personal transformation through the grace of your Holy Spirit to come down upon us, to encourage us. And we recognize that many of us have many challenges and struggles going on. But greater is you who's in us than he who's in the world. And you've given us everything we need to live a truly devout life, and a life filled with joy and life in abundance. So help us to be blessed, to open our hearts to the grace of personal conversion, and to be a blessing for others this week. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.